I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
We can start out with congratulating Tony Khan and his Jacksonville Jaguars on winning their first game since the game week one of the 2020 season. They go all the way to London and they beat the Miami Dolphins 23-20 last second.
Are they state rivals? Were they be considered rivals?
Well, this is the thing. I assume Tony Khan on his Twitter is going to start talking shit to Tampa Bay about how Florida State. Florida is their state now. I guess that's what Tony Khan's going
to
do.
And then he's going to narrow it down to Brady. It'll be Tony Khan and Brady going at it on Twitter.
We can actually fold several different things into this this victory for Tony Khan because it all kind of. Everything is kind of intermingling. I know a lot of people have enjoyed me talking shit over the past couple of weeks about Urban Meyer, who apparently now is off the hook thanks to those emails that were released about John Gruden, who is now no longer.
Yeah, it's like Urban who?
And a lot of people know that I've been a Raiders fan for, you know, since I was a child, 40-some-odd years, back when they were actually good. And they were like,
I'll just say this. Being from North Carolina, okay, and, you know, a different part, but still – growing up, there were several guys in my class, like in elementary school up through, I'm not sure about high school, but definitely elementary school, because I was really more into NFL back up and through junior high and up to high school. But there's a ton of guys that were Oakland Raiders fans, man. They had all the gear and all that stuff. So don't think you were the Lone Ranger. And I'm sure there's tons more besides that, too, you know?
Well, they were good. And then that, like, almost always on that late game on NBC, they were featured. Like they would always be, it would be them and the Chargers or them and the Seahawks or something. They would always, and a lot of people kind of caught up to that. Even my grandmother would like catch and she would root for the Raiders too. She would like,
that's
it was
awesome.
Like, so, and people were like, you talk shit about Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is awful. And a lot of the lies that he's told over the years are going to catch up to him at some point in time.
It
was very close.
This close this time.
He's been a horrific liar. He's been hiding behind the Bible for a number of years. And again, some people are going to do it. You can't even really compare that to John Gruden. Nobody, it's not a comparison.
There's no comparison.
Gruden's a piece of shit, and I'm glad he's gone from the Raiders. And I'm happy that those emails exposed him to be the absolute jerk that he was. I think that there's a lot of different stories. John Gruden is not a victim. I'm gonna put that out there before
I hope that, nobody thinks that.
But it is strange that they released the statement like I think a day ago. There was a story. It's like, well, there's nothing else in those emails that's gonna really be bad for anybody else. So it's good. And a lot of that is, I guess, John Gruden just treated people like shit over the years, and this was their whoever decided they wanted him out of the league. They decided that we're gonna leak this stuff and get you, and you're gone, you're done. So they hit him with the opening salvo, which was the lips thing about Damaris Smith. And then the Raiders were like, we'll talk about it. We'll see. It's an isolated incident. And then they were like, oh, okay, you don't like that? Bam, 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 bam. Here's about 50 other things where he insults every other marginalized group in the history of the universe. I'm sure there's like Swedish lesbian hockey player slams in there somewhere. Because it's like everybody. And then they were like, oh.
It was like it's like the damn shooting gallery at the old arcade.
Everybody. You got to go. You're no longer and bye. And now the story today is that they still owe him $40 million. And well, I know Mark Davis doesn't seem like the smartest guy in the world, but I feel like there's going to be lawyers around him are going to be like, no. This is where we pay John 5 or 10 and we say bye bye.
This is like when he signed that contract. What's that known as? Like. No, he knew, like John Gruden knew about the emails, but he didn't say anything. So that's like withholding something.
Yeah.
I don't know, in lawyer talk. So,
well, there's if you bring public scorn or embarrassment to the organization, you know,
there you go. That too. Yes.
Which Urban Meyer is going to do and has done already. And Shahid Khan is going to have to figure that out. And the great Tony Khan has got to figure that out. So we get to find out at this point what kind of a human being John Gruden really is. Now, is he going to be the guy that goes off, goes to therapy, whatever, and figures out why he's such a horrible asshole? Or is he going to be the guy that goes and he makes appearances with Mike Lindell and shows up at Trump rallies? This is going to be because he can be their guy. You know, he can be like the poster boy for, ooh, I was canceled. He can be like the Joe Rogan poster boy if that's what he chooses to be. Mm-mm. He wants to go down that road. I hope not too. But I mean, he's a horrific asshole. he said a lot of things very comfortably, slamming a lot of things. And I'll say it for people who don't know. One asshole does not change 60 years of progress in this organization. Say what you will about them cheap-shotting people on the field and, you know, crippling Daryl Stingley and all of this sort of thing. First organization to hire a black head coach. First organization to hire a Hispanic head coach. First organization to have an openly gay player in any sport. First organization to have a female president. So that doesn't – one dickhead does not change all of that. So I'm glad Gruden is gone. He was a cancer to humanity. And, you know, Urban Meyer is going to fuck up eventually. And now – speaking of John Gruden, we wonder if he's going to show up now at a Herschel Walker rally. That would be perhaps his next story coming out in Wrestling Observer that the Nature Boy Ric Flair has agreed to appear to support his friend Herschel Walker, the Heisman Trophy winning University of Georgia running back who then worked for Donald Trump in the United States Football League and then played, of course. He was the key. A lot of people, there's a generation of people that don't know he was the key to the Dallas Cowboys being dominant in the 1990s.
Yeah, let's not forget that.
They traded him away to the
Minnesota Vikings. Him to the Vikings, God.
They got a shit ton of draft picks, and that helped build the dominant dynasty that Jimmy Johnson presided over, except for the year he got fired by his asshole owner, and then Barry Switzer just kind of
showed up. Who was that asshole owner? I can't remember his name.
Same asshole owner they have.
Oh, now. That's that same guy. That's right.
Same asshole, whose emails maybe kind of, if they ever get leaked, might be interesting to look at too. But
that's amazing they're not already.
Jerry Jones fired Jimmy Johnson, and he hired his old friend Barry Switzer, and Barry Switzer basically just showed up for a year. I could have coached that team to a world championship.
Doubt.
I mean, I could have, Jesus Christ. Oh, Michael Irvin, we have Emmitt Smith. Oh, we have Troy Aikman. Yeah, oh, okay, I can do that. Yeah, it's not a problem. So, And Barry Switzer becomes one of the few people who have ever won a world championship and a national championship in college. Like Pete Carroll's the other guy.
That's right. Pete Carroll. I forgot about that. Yeah.
So there's very few human beings that have ever done that. Just as there's very few human beings in college in basketball that have won a national championship in college and have won a world championship on the pro. I believe Larry Brown is on that list, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Just to throw it in, doesn't Lane Kiffin just bring the best out in everybody?
Goddamn. Now, I'm so glad you brought that up, man. What a fantastic Southern-style heel this guy is. Man, does this guy draw the heat. I don't give a shit who you are. If you've been a wrestling fan from the territory days, and you can think that Lane Kiffin is an asshole, and he pretty much is. He pretty much is. Goddamn, what a great heel. One of the greatest heels I've seen in sports. And
he's probably got that golf ball that hit him that he picked up and put in the spot. He's probably got it like mounted on his mantle, you know, just all proud of it.
Like, who's like the best heel? Like, Bruiser Brody, fantastic, tremendous heel. From our time, you know, the Russians, unbelievable heels.
Oh,
right?
God, yes. Yes,
people
absolutely.
They hated him so very much. Blackjack Mulligan, awesome heel, fantastic heel.
Guy that was there for just a hot second in WWE after 9/11? Muhammad.
Muhammad Hassan or whatever that
guy's
name. Hassan,
yeah.
Oh, this is like he's the best heel. Like he's the guy that would have gotten knifed like Roddy Piper did at the Charlotte Coliseum after a show. Somebody would have shivved that guy after the show. It would have been.
He looked like a queen bee in a honey beehive when he was walking out after that game with all those damn highway patrol around. You couldn't even see it, man. He was like amazing. It was like a swarm of people.
If you haven't seen the Lane Kiffin video, Lane Kiffin was the University of Tennessee head coach for 1 year. He leaves in the middle of the night to go to coach at SC. They hate him. They
Baltimore Colts line two.
They allegedly. there's some dispute about this. There were death threats against him from the Tennessee fans. His wife may have overplayed the issue and stuff. He was feared for his safety. So he ping pongs around. He was like the last guy Al Davis fired, I think, was Lane Kiffin as coach of the Raiders.
Really? Okay. Nice trivia question.
I believe that was the last guy that Al Davis had the privilege of firing. And then he ping-pongs around, makes his way back up to the big time, and now he's at Ole Miss. He's the head coach in the Southeastern Conference, and they visit the University of Tennessee, and they have to stop the game for 20 minutes because they're throwing everything at the sideline, everything in the world at him. Bottles, babies. I mean,
anything that's throwable.
There were peek-a-poos that were being – I mean, they were just throwing shit from the rating. They get him into the middle of the field. They discuss it. He's there discussing it with the officials, and somebody hits him with like one of those this is another great reference, one of those Gary Pate yellow golf balls.
Yes.
He catches it, hits him on the elbow. It doesn't hurt him. He shows it to the referee, and he says he's going to frame the thing. Yeah. He's going to frame
it. Stuck in his pocket. He's got this grin on his face.
Jesus Christ. He's better than any. There's no, I mean, he's an MJF level heel. He really is an MJF heel at this point.
He's
Roman Reigns wishes he could generate that much heat. He wishes at this point that he doesn't, like Lane Kiffin doesn't need a Paul Heyman to generate that kind of heat.
No, not at all.
It's tremendous.
If he could work the mic, he's set.
I'm not a fan. Like NASCAR has needed Kyle Busch to be that guy for years. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the Busch brothers have kind of
held their own in that category. Yes.
They've done okay. But they need, man. They need that right now. I think the France family. I guess they still own NASCAR. They call it Lane Kiffin and go, can we just get you in a car? We just need you for one race. If you could just wreck one of our Chase Elliott. If you could just like put him right into the fence, I think we could bring the sport back. I think we can make this thing relevant again to America.
Well, I mean, he had to have known at some point he's going to have to go back to Tennessee if he's going to be the head coach at Ole Miss. So
that's right. I mean, it's like, I mean, how much money? I'm getting $5 million. Let's go to Tennessee.
When are we going? Sooner the better.
I mean, of course, the University of Tennessee, their chancellor like puts out a statement. I'm appalled. It's terrible. We have to have a. I'm going to apologize public to the University of Mississippi on Monday, and it's awful. You know, but again, this is great Southern style wrestling heel heat. And Lane Kiffin brings it as well as anybody ever did during, as well as Ole Anderson or the Russians or anybody, even Kevin Sullivan, anybody ever did. He's like the best heel.
Kevin Sullivan, that's good.
I can't even think of like the next best heel in college football. I can't even think of the next best. He's the guy.
I can't either, man.
Well, Saban in his own right. Would be, I mean, to a lot of people, a baby face, but not
I think
to
people like him. It's, yeah. You just like to not like him, you know?
Right.
It's fun to not like him just because he's at Alabama, I guess.
He is, and he doesn't have,
you know,
like Belichick is kind of a big time heel because he's so truculent with the media and stuff. And he looks like he's the sore loser in the Tom Brady divorce. So Belichick's kind of that guy. I can't think of anybody in college though. That's even close.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. What's his face? Your old friend there at Mississippi State, the guy that used to be at Washington State, Mike, what's the guy's name?
Oh yeah. Leach.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a pretty good heel. Yeah. He's kept his head down for a minute.
He has. And I'll tell you, I think he's kind of like Saban in the sense that I think people kind of like him, but he does stuff and you're like, come on, man.
He does. He does things that are just completely unnecessary to make himself an asshole. But goddamn, Lane Kiffin, who I still think is dreadful, but I really respect the heat that heat. That's fantastic.
Like, he accepts it
now
so much.
Any visiting stadium he goes to, they're just going to throw shit at him. Just be ready with extra security, all this stuff, and that's kind of what you want. If you're okay, it's not a big deal. Like if you're playing a road game against Georgia or Bama or Tennessee, they're going to sell all of the tickets. They're going to sell in Tennessee. They're going to sell 105. But if you're going to Vanderbilt, oh my God, I'm going to buy a ticket. I'm going to throw something at fucking Lane Kiffin, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's how it's going to be.
And honestly, Tennessee fans may even like buy up the unused tickets at Vanderbilt and go there, you know?
They had this thing like this happens in college football. I haven't been aware of it, but I know a lot of people. It's not a surprise to them. I know, like when Alabama played that road game at Duke like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
What the Alabama fans will do is they'll buy season tickets, like the rich ones. They'll buy season tickets to Duke just to have the good seats for that one game.
That one game. It's amazing.
They'll do
it's
that.
So out of my realm of thinking, man.
It it's is. Just, the whole thing, that thing happened at when Nebraska played a road game at Winston-Salem at Wake Forest. They did the same thing. Those fans bought season tickets just to get the really good seats for that one game. So you may have some Tennessee fans that buy season tickets to Vanderbilt just so they can be up close, so they can throw shit.
God, man.
In Lake. Oh, but anyway, Ric Flair now generating the heel heat as an outcast in the world of everything.
Speaking of heels.
As he's always been a jock sniffer. Now, Herschel Walker is the chosen candidate in this Georgia Senate race. Is he running for governor or Senate? I can never remember.
I thought it was Senate. Yeah. Maybe it is governor. Now that you say that, I thought, but I had it in my head it was Senate. But
so he's going to appear. Ric Flair is at a campaign appearance. So he's Herschel Walker is Donald Trump's bespoken choice for this race. Let
me see. That's all you need to know.
Now, Herschel Walker did cancel an appearance. There was a fundraiser that was going to take place, and this guy on his Twitter, the guy who was hosting the fundraiser on his Twitter account, this is such an adorable thing that these people are doing. Mm-hmm. He had a swastika fashioned out of hypodermic needles.
Yes, I saw that. Oh,
how inventive. That's fantastic, ignorant, dumb as fuck, MAGA Nation. You guys, your graphic design is on point. And you know how to rock a funky joint. Here's the in his first public event since the controversy from the plane ride from hell episode, Ric Flair will make an appearance at Herschel Walker at a December political fundraising event. Walker, a Republican running for the Georgia Senate. That's correct. He is aiming to take on incumbent Raphael Warnock next November. So this is a race that's 13 months away. Warnock, of course, was elected in that special election.
I was going to say
back in January, and that's where the Democrats actually got control of the United States Senate because Donald Trump made an appearance in Georgia and fucked everything up. And Warnock and Ossoff
he just walked in, took the pin out of the grenade, and walked the hell out.
This is how good Donald Trump has been to the state of Georgia. Georgia, which was deeply red, now has not only did the president, Joe Biden, carry that state, but they now have two Democratic senators. That's how good fucking Donald Trump is right now. Oh,
Georgia. Jesus. Think about that. Georgia.
He was a college.
That's almost Alabama. That's almost Mrs. That's almost, I mean, that's South is what I'm saying. That's
right. So Ric Flair can kiss my ass. I mean, this is
bottom line here.
Honestly, how you finish out your career and your life does matter. And when you make all of these choices, and this is a clear choice that he's made to join the dickhead train just as hard as he possibly can. I know he's always been a Republican. He's always been. When they did that High Spots video all the way back in 2008. So they did the High Spots video all the way back in 2008. They did it right after he got in that fight at Top of the Hill in Chapel Hill. They did it right. So he's sitting down with a black eye.
Yeah, he's
literally got a black eye. And he alludes to the fact that that was the reason that he got in a fight was he was defending Sarah Palin's honor or some bullshit like that. And I think it was Ash's boyfriend at the time. He's either getting a fight with him or some people around him, and then Ash's boyfriend had to come in. Anyway, they leave the bar in Chapel Hill. They go to her apartment. The police track him down, and he's sitting there, and he's, like, bleeding or something. So I don't think there were any charges that ever came out of it because nobody was willing to kind of step forward and say, here's what's happening. I'm pressing charges. But I think that's what he was doing was – and then there were these rumors over the years. Jesse Ventura said that Ric Flair goes, hey, I'm going to run for governor of North Carolina. What should I do? And Ventura goes, oh, you can't do that, Rick. He's like, oh, you can't. Oh, he's like, you got too much shit. They're going to go through everything. And it's not. No. There's like 5 women in the state of North Carolina that haven't seen your dick voluntarily or otherwise. So you won't be able. You won't be running for any political office.
There you go. Thank you.
Let's
clear this up.
But he's decided to appear. Goddamn. for stupid ass Herschel Walker running for the United States Senate under the auspices of Daddy Donald Trump. Unbelievable.
I feel it's one thing to make fun of Flair in his post wrestling days doing these Car Shield commercials.
Yeah. Like
you're so good at doing. It's hilarious. And it's funny, but I get it. I mean, dude just wants to make some money and whatever. You think what you want to, but then is this, you know, then there's this.
This is the nation, boy. Here is the big rally for my friend Herschel Walker. Woo! Herschel Walker. We'll do it. This will be the commercial. This will be the commercial I'll try to get Ric Flair to do. And by the way, as I said to you, he ain't doing shit for free. He's getting paid to come to this.
Oh, you're so right, man.
Ric Flair don't do fuck all for free. Just keep that in mind.
just remember that.
All right, Ric Flair for Herschel Walker for Senate. Take one. This is Nation Boy for my friend Herschel Walker running for United States Senate from St. Georgia. Woo! Herschel Walker knows Donald Trump. He has been on Donald Trump's plantation. Woo! Cut. Rick, we can't. What do you mean? He worked for Donald Trump. He was on the New Jersey Generals. Woo! But you can't, Rick. You can't say he's been on the plantation. You can't say. All right. 3, 2, 1. This is Nation Ball, Ric Flair. Normally, I don't believe that Black Lives Matter, but this one Black Lives does matter. My friend Herschel Walker. Woo! Cut. Rick, we can't have you. You can't say that. That's not going to work. See, that's how the commercials would go. That's how the commercials are going to go.
I'm not going to argue. God.
This is Ric Flair. I would like to introduce my friend, Herschel Walker, here at this big rally and fundraiser. Woo! Herschel is going to help make America great again. He's going to make it so that you can go on airplanes and show your dick to whoever you want. Woo! All right. I don't know. It appears to be a shit show to me, Bryant. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think it just appears like that to you. I'm with you on it.
I hope it backfires. I've loved Ric Flair. I've always considered him to be the best. He's always really been at the top. When I do my top 10 list, always, he was always my favorite.
But
fuck that guy. Honestly, honest to God, you have a decision to make and now you decide this is going to be your decision. You've had this trouble. And that's why I say this is the John Gruden thing. John Gruden has run into some trouble. And if he's truly sorry about this shit, stop. Don't make public appearances. Don't try to capitalize off of this by becoming the Barstool Sports Man of the Year. But here's Ric Flair. He's going to double and triple down on being a complete asshole. He's decided this is the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to go this route. And I don't know if he thinks that this is going to win or curry Vincent Kennedy McMahon's favor. Like, Vince's like, let me get him back. Yeah, I really like the way he sticks up for that asshole candidate in Georgia. Rick, can you get Herschel to come to Saudi Arabia? I want him to attack Bobby Lashley after the match. You just don't know, right? Man.
Stranger things have happened, I suppose. Cyndi Lauper in the freaking wrestling ring. Okay.
You know, it's good times, right? So the title of today's episode may indeed be some sort of variation of fuck Ric Flair. I can't believe that he makes that decision and then he does it and he thinks that's going to be helpful, but whatever. We do need to talk about Tony Khan's Twitter account because that's become a bit of a problem.
I will say this, and you may know this, and I didn't realize this until after I sent it to you, that one I texted to you.
Right.
Apparently that was a fake account.
Okay. There's been a couple of fakes, but there's been some real stuff that he's done too.
That's what I was going to say. But yes, I just wanted to tell you I knew that after, right after I texted to you. I'm like, oh, okay. Because I didn't catch the little date thing on there at first. I don't know if you saw that.
Right.
But the 10-13 was kind of flip-flopped around like it was a European-looking thing or something. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah.
His taunting of the WWE about like, oh, I see that we're going against each other for half an hour. I can't wait to whip your ass on Friday night. Because he's going to be on, you know, he's going to be on like a real network, and they're going to be on FS1. I think they still did okay on FS1, by the way.
I didn't even see, though.
And they did, and the WWE, I think, specifically did like a commercial-free half hour or something.
Yeah.
To try to compete, which is, you know, here's how I feel.
But AEW's not competition, dude.
Yeah.
There's no competition there.
Well, that's obviously, again, the Vince McMahon standard. The Vince McMahon standard of behaving is not the standard. They clearly are competition. I mean, still 90 plus cents out of every dollar that's spent on pro wrestling is spent on fucking Vince McMahon and his company. There's no question about it. It's still the gold standard. I'm not carrying water for either company. I've been critical of either company. And I think if you're being objective about this, AEW has the best product. I don't think I've argued that for a long time.
And they have the better fans. Just saying.
They do. I mean, their fans are kind of dicks.
And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you one reason why.
Tell me why.
This is just one reason. I mean, this is just a personal reason why I think this is the WWE fans compared to AEW. Right. I follow a lot of both on social media, I'm sure, just like you do and a lot of other people do. You're right. Once in a while, I'll like if Mandy or Britt Baker or both, anybody really. I'm not just saying Mandy, but anybody. Once in a while, I'll make a comment. I don't make a lot of comments on there just because I don't make a lot of comments. I know it's a, you know, whatever. But sometimes it's a shit show. So I just, well, yeah, you can look at the comments. There's one thing, you know, you can look at the comments compared to the AEW people comments. I'm telling you that alone, you're right. But I just don't make a lot of comments, but once in a while I do. But every time I do, especially on Instagram, I get some fucking fake account trying to follow me back on Instagram. I had to block my account. Well, not block my account, but make my account where you had to ask to, you know, follow me or whatever.
Right.
I've got like all these Mandy Sachs WWE or .. or what, you know, these just obvious fake accounts. Every time on whoever's profile, I make a comment on. Never, I comment on Akira Shida sometimes. Never got anybody, you know, some fake Shida account or like I said, Britt Baker. Never got any kind of Britt. But every time I do on a WWE person, really male or female, but it's mostly female that I comment on. Just saying, but I've never gotten anything from AEW, but I get all kinds of stuff from WWE. So I don't know. This may not be a fan thing, but I'm thinking it's just, you know, these WWE geeks that create these accounts based off and, you know, and so I think that's a sign to me.
Who has the worst fans, AEW or WWE? Who's like terrible fans or like worse? Is it WWE or AEW?
Yeah, I'm not saying, you know.
That's a question I'm posing. I'm like, seriously. I know. Who do you think has the worst fans?
I
feel like the WWE fans are worse.
I definitely think so.
The ones who are like, AEW sucks and WWE rules, and because.
Yeah, oh God.
They're, among other things, if you're just like a WWE mark or whatever you want to call them, you're defending a much worse product. It's a horrible product. Now, there's stuff that AEW does that is WWE-esque that the AEW fans refuse to acknowledge.
Right.
And we talk about it here. I mean, they just do a bunch of fanboy bullshit that, to me, doesn't need to be done and is unnecessary. But for the most part, they have the better in-ring action. They have the better angles. They have the better announcing, although Pat McAfee is growing on everybody. Pat McAfee is like the best hire that they've made in a long time, I think.
God, I was so wrong on that dude, man.
Well,
I thought he was going to come in as a manager. I didn't really see him as an announcer, so that helps.
He's really gained a following, and he's improved their announcing like 100 times more. But I can't, you know, as far as naming another announcer on WWE not named Michael Cole. I got problems. I don't know. I have no idea. And then the Three Stooges.
I don't think Joseph guy. He's pretty good. The NXT guy. I like him okay.
But the point of all the announcers is every time they plug somebody in, they let Michael Cole produce them, and Vince wants them, and Michael wants them to sound like Michael Cole. Extremely annoying. And then JR is the Three Stooges over at AEW. JR is just walking through life, just sleepwalking.
But he did make a funny comment, though.
From time to time, he comes up with something. He pulls something out of his ass. It's just funny as shit. To me, Tony is great. And then Excalibur is just so awful, so dreadful, so banal. It's ridiculous.
I can't even really pinpoint what it is. Why is it that I don't like? He doesn't really do sometimes he does. He doesn't do it as much. The pulling some crazy stat from New Japan or something out of the. But other than that, why don't I like him now?
Well, first of all, the idea of the gimmick in and of itself as like, hey, look
at the mask.
Yeah, that was stupid. And it's like, well, if you have that, you better back it up. You better have something to go with it. And you don't. You may have hung out with the Yakuza over in Japan and gotten your steaks and stuff from a sponsor and all that other shit and got close to having your pinky cut off. But no, you're not. You're a guy that was mopping up piss at PWG. And that's pretty much what you were doing. And they caught you saying some very John Gruden-esque things, by the way. And then they suspended you for a couple of weeks, and then it was kind of swept under the rug. Sweepy sweep under the rug. And
answered my question.
Sure.
I didn't really think that one out.
Does that kind of clarify things? Does that kind of crystallize
crystal why clear, you
like
thanks.
That guy? And he's crystal always clear. He's like he's such a Me Too bitch. I mean, like, just I want to tag along. Please let me talk, County. I got to get a word in there. That was sliced bread number 7. Fuck, who cares, you dick? And then they laugh at him like, oh, was it really? nice job, Junior. he kicks his own ass. So
yeah,
Tony Khan, slow down. I know you're riding high. You got some good ratings. You're killing it in the demo. Got a good deal going. They're working on that tape library deal with Warner Media. I don't know if some of that shit's going to end up on HBO Max or something. Slow down. You're right. You know, there's no need to taunt Vince and the WWE. Like, hey, we're kicking your ass. Let's hang
on. Now, the Ted Turner one. Did you see the Ted Turner one? Is this the same one?
That was the one that I really – like, if Ted Turner – knew as much about wrestling, 1% as much about wrestling as I did, that the TNT, they would still have wrestling on TNT.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't remember if that was a fake one or
that
a real
was
one.
Such an ignorant and stupid and ridiculous statement on a number of different levels. For example, I don't know if he realized that there was a book called Fools Rush In that was about this. There was a merger between Time Warner and AOL. You may have heard about this, and it happened in the late 90s.
I know it was Ted a long Turner, time ago.
Ted Turner lost his mantle of power. He wasn't the guy in charge. There were other douchebags that knew nothing about how not only television, but wrestling. They were the ones that helped. If you think Ted Turner was the guy that went up, hey, I need to hire Vince Russo. If you think that was the guy, you're full of absolute shit and you're completely ignorant and you don't know as much about the history of wrestling as you thought, dickhead.
Have a chit chat with Jim Cornette. I think he might explain it a little bit. That's
the other thing is Ted Turner did pretty well with his dad. Okay. His dad did very well and they got the TV station, but he helped grow it on his own. Motherfucker, Tony Khan, you were born on third and thought you hit a triple. I mean, that's exactly what's going on in your life right now. And if you want to fucking pick on Vince McMahon got helped out by his father too, but he had to buy that company. And Vince McMahon in his early life struggled in a fucking trailer park in shit face North Carolina.
Which he admits to constantly.
I mean, and he grew up in fucking Havelock, dude. Even now, you wouldn't stop there to take a dump, Tony Khan.
No.
He went to fucking East Carolina University. He and his wife did. So Vince McMahon, for all of the you picking on him, and shut up, little rich boy, little trust fund bitch. You got to stop with your taunts and stuff. Know where you are in life. Have some self-recognition. you're very fortunate to be playing with daddy's money, living out your Dave Meltzer Wrestling Observer newsletters in real life. I'm appreciative of what you've done, but Jesus Christ, have some humility. You're not kicking Vince McMahon's ass at this point. So many people have been in the position you were at. Ask Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff was right where you are. He was in the catbird seat, and he was kicking Vince McMahon's ass about 20 times worse than you are. And now he's not.
And probably in a better position than TK right
now. Absolutely. And the reason he's not is because Ted Turner was removed from power, and the people who put Eric Bischoff in the position to be good were gone. We're tossed. We're done. And it wasn't Ted Turner, you piece of shit.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that's well documented in the documentary.
There's like a million different ways to look this up. But again, the smartest guy ever to run a wrestling program, because he's read every, I've read every Observer that's ever been. I know Bruce and Brody's real name. It's like, oh, fuck you. Really? This is the shit that drives me nuts about AEW, is how they just jack off over their own fandom and their own knowledge of insider wrestling shit, right? And yeah. I know we do the same thing here, but we don't do it to the extent. I'm not, we, you know, this, that, and the other. But Jesus Christ, you're running the thing. And then, oh, they're like, this is the greatest thing, because this match that just happened between QT Marshall and Lee, they just referenced this famous All Japan match from 2002. It's like, God damn it, you guys just fucking stop. I don't want to read a fucking Reddit thread to understand why I enjoy this match. I just want to enjoy the match, okay?
It does get a little convoluted.
These chefs that you have on the Food Network, they make this dish, and they're like, oh, the reason that this dish is so great is because it alludes to this famous French chef that raised the cattle from this region, and that's what we're alluding to along with the Jimmy Glide. Shut up! I just want to eat the fucking dish. God damn it. Oh, that shit drives me nuts. And to have little rich boy out there, like he's actually accomplished anything in life, taunting Vince McMahon, like he's kicking ass and taking names. You're not there yet, dude. You're not. I mean, I really feel good about you selling out Arthur Ashe Stadium. You're going to kick ass in this new thing on Long Island. You're doing really, really well, but you're not the WWE right now. You're still on the come. You're the hottest thing in pro wrestling. So just act like you have some humility. You're not that tough guy. You're not a natural heel. You have white heat. That's what you have. Because
can I just say this?
Yes.
On top of that, now I was going to mention about Dynamite.
Yeah.
I've noticed that Daniel, you know, since Danielson and Adam Cole, Bebe, and
CM Punk.
CM Punk, all three came in. They're still getting the good pops and everything, but really, outside of that, Hangman Page, okay, he'll get some pops. Who I was just noticing some, like, even Malakai Black's not, you know, I guess he does at times, but it's not the pop that he was getting when he first got there.
I mean, Jericho, I think Jericho still gets the big reaction. I think MJF gets a decent reaction. I think Ruby does well. I think Ruby does well for what she does.
Okay.
But there's 150 people in that roster and they still keep pushing the fucking Dark Order. Stop.
that comment that JR said about John Silva. He said it looked like Ivan Putski and Brute Bernard had a kid.
Like, five people got that, but yeah, I mean, it's hilarious. I get it.
Yeah, I know. I'm so glad I was one of those five.
As being the king of esoterics, yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. I think I'll give you that one, JR. That's pretty funny. But Jesus Christ. Awesome. Hangman Page has this albatross called the Dark Order just anchored to his, and I don't understand why. I don't understand the loyalty to the Dark Order when they've not been over, and they can't get over, and they won't be over. I don't know if Tony Khan feels like he has to do this out of respect to Brody Lee and his family. I don't know. But
that seems like it, doesn't it?
Kind it does. Of. It seems like if we just broke up the Dark Order, quietly let them go their separate ways and stuff, somehow we're shitting on the memory of Brody. And I don't get that. I don't understand.
Well, let me ask you this: since you're so down on the Dark Order, and I'm not saying I'm a big fan of the Dark Order or anything, but right. I think you're really more down on them than I am. How do you feel about a lot, and not all of them, but there's a handful of them. There's so many freaking of them, but there's two or three of them I think that would be good on as singles or, you know, just separated and on their own? How do you feel about them as singles? Or you just don't like the, besides our boy?
Well, if Hangman Page is considered part of the Dark Order, of course, he's going to be great in singles. You know how I feel about Colt.
That's what I'm saying. Besides him, take him out. But like
Colt, honestly, and if I'm being completely objective about it, Colt may be the guy that may be the most successful out of any of them working. And I don't think he's going to get over it. He's going to be like an okay mid-card guy to beat every now and again.
Unless they could build Colt Cabana up as like an underdog kind of guy and people feel sorry for him and that sort of thing. And he ends up coming out. Yeah, I could see that.
You build him up in the knee, eventually gets crushed by whoever the TNT champion or the TBS belt. It's strong enough for a man.
The TBS belt, yeah.
Yeah, I love that one. That's a good one. AEW hires Brody Lee's wife, Amanda Huber. Huber, the widow of Brody Lee, took to Twitter a couple days ago announcing she's officially working with the company now. She is going to be part of something called the Community Outreach Team. Huber thanked AEW President, CEO, General Manager, Head of Creative Tony Khan, Chief Brand Officer Brandi Rhodes. More on that in a minute. Executive Vice Presidents Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks. Words can't express how happy I am right now. Amanda's first task as Head of Community Outreach is to establish the Bruce Mitchell Journalism Scholarship. I don't know if you heard that.
No, did I hear? No,
it's going to be to honor Bruce's journalistic career.
That's so great.
I don't know if you heard about that. Some young upcomer who wants to study journalism is going to get a treat.
Bruce gets personally present it to him each year.
Present the check. That's awesome. Smiling.
I had not heard that.
I'll be the bad guy here. The Community Outreach Foundation or whatever it is for AEW will never do anything. Will never help anyone. If they do something, they'll be like, "Oh, look, we provided lunch to a child," and they'll have 150 cameras and they'll take pictures. They'll just pay her something.
Well, I was going to ask you, what does that mean exactly?
It means nothing. It means that, oh, look how great people we are, Pat. And who does that remind you of?
No, let me think.
Vincent Kennedy fucking McMahon. Holy shit. The more that you bitch about Vince McMahon, the more you become what you hate. I'm sorry, but very soon Tony Khan's going to announce, "Hey, we're headed to Saudi Arabia for a big show." They've never seen anything like this. I mean, honest to God, I'm nothing against Amanda Huber. I mean, she's been through a terrible tragedy, having to raise those children on her own. Nobody would ever wish anything like that. But Jesus Christ, how long are you guys going to fucking milk this thing until the ends of the earth? Every time, there's this kid in a mask doing something. It was one of the ballsiest things I've ever seen, like right after he died when they had the kid in the mask and fucking MJF healed on him. And I'm like, oh my God, nobody else has the balls to do this. Not even Lane Kiffin would do that.
Well, I don't know.
And then the kid, of course, because you know he's getting a payback for it. He got, MJF sold the kendo stick like he'd been shot like a champ. Holy shit, you guys. I mean, when is the line to exploitation crossed with this promotion when it comes to Brody Lee?
So you're just calling it out right now. You're not even going to give them a chance to, like, a few months or a year to see if they actually do anything. You're just saying.
Doesn't it sound like it's made up? I mean, we didn't have one before, but now, you know what we need? A community outreach. Yes, that.
Well, that's the thing about it. I agree with you on that part. The title itself sounds a little sus.
Like what?
You know, I wish, I don't know. It just seems a little generic and vague.
It does.
And maybe it's meant to. I don't know. It is just kind of, I don't know. I was just, generally when, you know, something happens, I'll even go specifically. Like, when something happens like this and somebody like Ms. Huber takes a position like that because her husband passed away because of a certain illness, she would be on the outreach program for that particular illness, you know, something specific.
Whatever it is, because we've never been informed of how he died.
Okay. Well,
I have sources that say there's not even a death certificate. I've had people tell me this.
Really?
There's not even, apparently you can't go anywhere in Florida where he passed away and find a death certificate. I've been told this. I haven't done the research myself, But people who I know who are serious people who have investigated this have said that there's no death certificate. And I don't know how that is. And I don't know how they get away with that. But that is what my sources have told me.
Okay. Well, this all may be legit, you know, I'm taking their word for it, but it just, the whole setup just sounds a little, I don't know. I understand what you're saying, though.
Yeah. I mean, you're not quite as hardcore as I am because, you know, you don't want to come off as looking like a massive dick like I am.
As weird as it kind of sounds or whatever, I do want to give them a chance to, you know, practice what they preach kind of thing, you know.
Here's my prognosis is they're going to eventually, like once a year, they'll do something. They'll highlight somebody they have helped. They'll bring them out to a show. They'll chant their name and then they'll chant Brody, Brody. And then you won't hear about them for another year or 2 years. You just won't. And then she'll get paid 140. Like when, listen, what happens, and I'm not saying that this is it may be a similar thing. When Eddie Guerrero dies and Vince goes, well, fuck it. I want to help the family out. Vicky, why don't you come on TV and do some shit? And then Vicky gets over, right? Mm-hmm. Vicky did very well for a number of years, got big time paychecks from WWE, helped feed her family, pay the mortgage, all that shit. Eventually now she's getting, I don't know what the fuck she's actually doing in AEW. Nobody's figured that out for months and months, but she's on the payroll because the gravy train's rolling. And Vince was able to do that for their family. I think Tony Khan was like, I can't really use her as a manager. And then I think Brandy's got too many people on her staff. Yeah, let's create a new position for her. Instead of just like Tony Khan saying, here's a check, take this and put it in the bank. Instead of him doing that, I guess this seems a bit more legitimate or something like that.
Or, you know, if he wants something more stable for her, then pay her something every year. Give her something every month, you know?
Set up trust funds for the kids, dickhead.
Nobody's going to fault him for that. Who's going to fault him for that?
You know what a trust fund is, asshole. So, yeah, you could probably do that.
Yeah, I think he's familiar.
I think you know how that works. So if you wanted to do that, you could pretty easily do that. We don't have to figure out GoFundMes or anything for that shit.
Right. And I'm saying this, you know, again, if this turns out to be one of those what you're talking about kind of job situations or job positions and whatever, if it turns out what you're talking about, then yeah, why don't you, he should just, if you're going to do that and not make this into something that's really substantial and noteworthy and that sort of thing, talking about the organization that she's head of or whatever. Yeah. Who's going to fault him for just giving her money every month, every year, whatever, you know, who's going to be mad about that?
It sounds like the George Costanza, sounds like the People Fund. Was that what it was called? Yeah. The People Fund?
Yeah. The Human Fund, money human for people. Fund.
That's right. That's what it is. It's essentially he's established the Human Fund. That's what Tony, that's what Richie Rich has done. You know, people are going to shit on me because, you know, the family's been through a lot and a tragedy, and I hate what they went through. But again, at a certain point, When do we stop exploiting this? When do we stop? I mean, I don't want to marginalize the kids, put them over in a corner and never see them again. But Jesus Christ, I also, like, every time that we come anywhere within 500 miles of Rochester, I don't know that we need to have her put the Dark Order back together and have the kid put the mask on and the kendo stick. I don't know if that's completely necessary either. He can still be part of the family. They can still be part of the family, come to shows, shake hands backstage and correspond with the guys and call them and text them and all that other shit. You know?
Yeah, and you know, I agree with you, man. And it sounds so bad when but like you said, I don't know. I'm just having a hard time wording this right. Just, you know, like you said, they're milking it and the whole Brody thing. And I was kind of in denial about that up for a while, but it's the more I see stuff and everything, and I'm like, I don't know, man. It's like, and it's nothing against Brody. It's just, they don't do that for anybody else. You know, I didn't see them, you know, chanting Dusty for a year, you know, after he passed away. I didn't, you know, or pick somebody else, you know,
Piper,
anybody. Yes.
They barely did anything for Piper. Piper had the bad fortune of dying too close to when Dusty died.
Timing is everything.
He was like, wasn't it, when Michael Jackson died, it was like the same day that Farrah Fawcett died or something. So she got like none of the press and everybody was talking about Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's right.
So the real test of whether you're going to be in the Huber family's life is not whether we have him on TV once a year and whether we pat him on the back and have the kid. It's going to be over a period of 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years. Hey, I send you a birthday present. Hey, I come to your high school graduation. And you can't measure that. That doesn't make good television and kick your ass in the 18 to 49 demo. Right? That's hard to measure, and that's difficult. When you make a pledge, like a lot of those guys have been, and be like, you're part of our family. We're going to be in your family forever. That's a little bit harder to do. But, you know, once a year to put a kid on television or put her on TV and have her do some kind of angle, that just, you know, that makes you feel better. But yeah. I don't know if it really accomplishes anything. And of course, the fake title for
community. But, you know, even once a year, are you saying once a year is okay? Or are you thinking that's too much? Because it seems like it's been more than once a year to me.
Yeah, it does. It has been more than once a year. I was being incredibly generous with
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But the anniversary of his death's coming up at the end of December, so we don't know if there's going to be like a huge, massive, you know, whatever on that thing.
Yeah.
And look what Tony Khan is doing with the Owen Hart tournament, I think is really good. I think that's amazing to have something okay. called the Owen and the family, you know.
Nice.
But I also don't think it should have taken an episode of Dark Side of the Ring to really spur all that. We knew what happened to Owen. We knew what the family was going through. And if you're a real fan, Tony Khan, you would have known about all the friction in the family for a long time, okay? So why did it take a TV show to make you do this? So I just don't like the idea of Tony Khan like, oh, here's Darksider. Hey, let's have the plane ride from heaven match. I mean, it's just shit like that they do all the time.
It's almost Vince Russo-esque, the plane ride from heaven.
The plane, bro, we're going to have a plane on a pole match. Bro. Have you actually taken any time to see Roads to the Top?
Bits and pieces. I haven't sat down to watch like the whole thing. It's kind of on, and I've watched it while I, you know, okay, scan my phone. So.
What's your impression of Roads to the Top?
It's okay. I'll start with the good thing I like.
This should not take long. Go ahead. Get to the
It's one thing. The one thing I do like is I do like the people that are highlighted in the background. Even your boy QT Marshall. He comes across as very likable. I like him.
A likable doofus. I think he comes
a likable doofus or whatever. Yeah. Doofus is basically. But he's not hateable like he so much is on Dynamite.
Well, I'll give you that.
And then Starkman, Starks, you know, Ricky Starks is, and you know, all those, the guys and girls in the background besides Cody and Brandy. I like that aspect. They seem to come off as, so far, at least the episode I saw part of, they came across as, you know, cool people. But after that, I don't know, man. It's just overbearing, you know? Yes. I don't know if that's the word, but it's just overbearing. I just can't take it, man. I just can't take it.
Do you really feel, I'll just make this as a general question. In any other company ever, anywhere, that somebody like Brandy, that Brandy would be considered, oh yeah, she's a chief branding officer. Yeah. Which also, by the way, sounds like a fake title in Tony Khan. I mean, it's a real title in the real world. Well, what does a chief branding officer do?
In AEW, yes.
What do they do? I mean, they do. I know that some of those radio companies that we hate, like iHeartMedia, they've got chief branding officers and shit like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. And again, I think that's Stephanie's title too. I don't really know what Stephanie does.
Well,
I have no idea what Stephanie does, but I know that she's been in the business. She's been in the business for many, many years. She's been around the business. She's been successful in the business. And a lot of people have respected her for what she's done. Now, some people hate her, but that's going to happen to anybody in any industry who's achieved anything. Right.
But right. Sure. And, you know, and like you said, she's just got more experience and she kind of, not, I won't say commands respect, but people do, like you said, respect her because they know that she's been around it and knows what the business is all about and all that stuff. Now, whether her branding position is any more substantial than Brandy's is, I don't know. But you're right. That is kind of a obscure type, kind of a title, you know.
Well, on the most recent episode, like this was one of the chief duties of the chief branding officer. She was hosting a Zoom for that AEW heels thing that they're doing to reach.
Oh, out I did. Yeah, them. I did see. Okay.
And she maybe dressed up. No. It was 80s day, so she dressed up with 80s garb on.
Oh. I see. Was that the same episode? Maybe I saw. I've seen two episodes. Anyway, but yeah, I do remember that.
I think we've got more people who are downloading this podcast than are actually subscribing to AEW Heels. I really think so. She's and it's outside of that, nobody really knows what Brandi does, and I'm not even picking on her so much, but you know, they're making
good for her, I guess. Yeah.
They're making her the star of the show, and you're like, oh, I'm such a busy executive. What is it that you're doing? I go to shows and I'm sitting like next to Tony, and when stuff goes bad on TV, I go, oh, that's terrible. I don't know. Is that a job? Is that a thing? And I think the other vice presidents are also not really vice presidents. I think Cody does a lot of work. I think Omega does a lot of stuff with the video games. I think the Bucks just basically backstab and scheme. I think that is their main job as vice presidents in that company.
Well, you know, somebody has to.
I mean, and I'm not saying that.
Look, if they don't, you know, who will?
They should have hired somebody like a Bruce Pritchard. No, Bruce Pritchard should not be in wrestling. And to hire him back was just a security blanket for Vincent Kennedy McMahon. He was Linus, and he needed his blanket. And now he's got his blanket, and he and his blanket are wrecking NXT and sucking ass all over the place.
Man, I'm watching NXT, but I'm still I like I like a couple guys on there right now. There's some of those new guys like Carmelo Hayes. I like that dude a lot.
There was an episode of The Office when when the Ryan comes in and he wants everybody to start using Blackberries, and some of the old guard there, like Michael and Creed, were like, we're not going to take this anymore. We're the old guard and we're getting pushed out. And so they stood up against it. That's what was happening. They stood up against that sort of shit.
Okay.
So that's basically what Vince did. I need Kevin Dunn. I need Bruce. I need these people that surround me, and we're going to fight back against the Hunter element. And we don't even know what the Hunter element is now. I don't even know if he's back.
Me neither, man.
After his medical procedure at a medical facility. You know,
I know. Yeah. I mean, there's still people on there alike. I just don't know. The format's just kind of, I don't know. Have you seen it? Have you watched it yet since the 2.0 thing started?
I've seen it. I love the Hit Squad, they're not even on there anymore. They got drafted.
Yeah, they moved to SmackDown. Yeah.
I love Cameron, of course. I love LA Knight.
Yes.
Everybody else,
you like Raquel, don't you?
Yeah, Raquel's good. I'm kind of meh on everybody else. I really am.
I'm with you. I do like that Carmelo Hayes guy. I think he's going to be a superstar, dude. I think he's got everything. He can work the mic. He's got looks. He can move in the ring. He's young.
The fucking Hit Squad is that's money.
Oh yeah. That's why they moved up so fast, dude.
So the most recent episode that I saw was Randy's like going into labor, right? Because there's like that's the season finale is the kid gets pushed out of her, and she's completely in denial. Like I'll pop out the baby, and then I'm gonna go throw down a couple suplexes like the next day, no problem. And then like. Her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law are like, I don't think so. I don't think you. And she's like, no, but I'm going to get back in the ring. And they're like, I don't know. And then she's bitching and whining about how her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law always gang up on her. And then she falls for it and takes the bait. So to me.
Yeah, I did see one part when he was talking to his sister. Cody was talking to his sister about things.
Teal,
yeah.
So. Teal is Cody's sister, and Michelle is Cody's mom, Dusty's mom.
Okay, Michelle.
They should have their own show. They need to have their own show. They're the stuff. They could be like the new Chrisleys. I mean, if you can't look at that show and see that these two women and their wacky misadventures could just fill up episode after episode with people tuning in and going, oh, my God, this is like so fucking relatable. Or it's so stupid I have to watch. I mean, my God, to me – Teal pops on the screen. She's amazing. She's the suburban Atlanta mom. She's like the poster child for the white pants wearing suburban Atlanta mom.
Oh, like, for real.
ridiculously overbearing, drives the SUV like crazy, goes through Starbucks every morning, dares you to say shit to her. And then her mom is like, nobody ever has said a bad word in their life about Michelle. But Michelle is kind of like, she's later on in life, she's lost her husband, and she got no fucks to give. She'll just tell you the truth about shit now in her life, right?
That's how it rolls.
That's the show. Do I have to make decisions for every? That's your fucking show, Teal and Michelle Atlanta Adventures, or what? Yeah. Or the true Atlanta. She's off the chain. I mean, honest to God, Teal is always at least a quarter inch away from being a fucking hot mess, and that's entertainment.
Yeah.
I don't know if it doesn't really work on wrestling, because I don't know if she could really be a wrestling. She might be able to. I mean, her fucking dad was Dusty Rhodes, and she's kind of been in the business forever. So she might even be able to do something on AEW. I don't know. But if you look at that reality show and you see Cody's kind of boring, Brandy's kind of boring, whatever. They talk about their dogs and then their wacky adventures. You look at Teal and Michelle. Oh, this has the ability to go off the tracks right here. Yeah, this could be an absolute train wreck. My God, sign these guys up. Give these guys an 8-episode commitment and rock and roll with it, Daddy. I mean, come on.
I kind of compare that. I was comparing it to what I was watching of that show to Miz and Maryse. Mrs.
Yes.
And Maryse is so much easier to digest than Brandy is.
100% correct. 100% correct.
And it's like Miz is almost over the top. He's almost the Brandy, and Brandy's the Miz in a way.
It's a very easy formula. He just does stupid shit, and she eye rolls at him. That's basically the Miz and Mrs. formula, and they milk it very well. They're very entertaining. God damn, he knows how to perform. He knows how to perform. It doesn't matter whether he's on television, in a wrestling ring, on a stage. That motherfucker, you can hate the shit out of Mike Mizanin. You can, and he's been in the public eye for 30 years. You can hate, but God damn if he doesn't know what to do when the light goes on. That son of a bitch knows exactly what to do, right?
He does, man. There's no doubt about that. Respect.
And she's so attention hungry. She'll do 5 takes or whatever to get it right, to make it look like it was spontaneous. And it's just, he's stupid and she eye rolls the fuck out of him. And then they add like that. Like we talked about the first season when her mom was around. And her mom's just a French hot mess. Absolutely. 100%. But by God, that was great television. And then his dad moves in, not as entertaining, but it kind of on the goofy level.
Moments.
Even goofier really than Mike. So, okay, that's fine. He's good, and he's a good soul, and you kind of root for him, but you're like, oh, Mike, oh, geez, you're such a doofus. It's that kind of thing. But yes, Roads to the Top, I don't know if there's going to – I don't see them justifying a second season. I just don't see
– yeah, I mean, well, that's what I was going to say. You said they're boring. It's like, what are we going to see all the time? I mean,
the baby's here. How do they balance life and career?
Oh, no.
Oh, I wonder. That's so fucking relatable for middle America. As we're trying not to die from COVID, maybe getting a job that might pay us something. I would like to see how these millionaires figure out how to care for a baby and go to work in front of a national television audience. Oh my God. I'm so fascinated.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Let's get a documentary with Adam Copeland and freaking Beth Phoenix. Okay. That'd be great. How about Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch? Let's do one on them too. That'd be beautiful. How about Lana and Miro? Talk about not having a kid. God.
But Teal and Michelle, with Michelle trying to pull Teal away as she gets drunk at the country club and starts bitching at everybody, that's fucking entertainment.
I would watch that.
I'm watching that all day long. Are you kidding me?
It's like it's a lot of times I'll base stuff on if I'm flipping through or looking through the guide or whatever. If I see something on and there's like a few minutes or so left in, like 10 minutes left in it, or am I going to watch it? Is it good enough to watch all that? Yes, if it's got Till, if I see that song, I'm going to watch the last 10 minutes of that. If I see Cody's show on, no, I probably won't watch that last 10 minutes.
She's fucking great television. Holy shit. Any other closing remarks on another award-winning episode of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
I think that's it. I didn't have anything. I was just going to mention that one great line about JR on Dynamite, but it was just fresh on the mind because I had to watch the DVR version of Dynamite because I couldn't watch it last night.
Well, they're suffering because these Saturday night shows, because they got to get this hockey, and they're gonna be kind of in this limbo hell until they get over to TBS in January. Then they kind of have to reestablish, because people are not going to use the
team.
Yeah, but which is why you don't go taunting, Dickhead McGee over there on the Twitter. dipshit.
Yeah, I don't know what triggered that all of a sudden, man. That was kind of, I don't know if it was an Arthur Ashe thing or getting Danielson and Punk and Bebe and whatever. I don't know what's, but all of a sudden, you know.
He's feeling himself right now, and his team has an actual victory. Ooh.
Go Jags.
The Katie Vick is Alive podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Bryant is available on Twitter and Instagram at Bry Sports, B-R-Y Sports. The show Twitter is at Katie Vick Alive. I am on Twitter at Britt Whitmire. That's B-R-I-T-T-W-H-I-T-M-I-R-E. And on Instagram, it's B-Dub for Reels, B-D-U-B, number 4, R-E-E-L-Z. I also do a daily political podcast, which is Left Leaning with my friend Brad Krantz. That is at Brad and Britt. Available everywhere you get the podcasts. It does not matter if it's on Spotify or Stitcher or Apple or whatever. Wherever you get the podcast, you can listen to Brad and Britt, so you might want to check that out as well. And you can support what we do at our Amazon store, which is katievick.com. That is katievick.com. Until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.